Bruce Chandler will read our morning scripture.
Today's reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, 2nd chapter, 22nd to the 40th verses. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The man was righteous and devoted, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and, praising God, said, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to whom all were looking for redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of Moses and the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him.
First of all, I do not intend to give a full sermon. Debbie and I talked about that. It's just a short sharing of some things that are on my heart and about this passage. Focusing primarily today on spiritual gifts. Gifts of the Spirit. Simeon had a deep longing in his heart that somehow before he died, he would be completed by seeing his Savior, and that he would be in peace. And his wish was granted. Somehow, when he saw that baby brought into the temple, he recognized that this is the one through whom God will bring salvation to his people throughout the world. He saw the Christ. My question is, 2,000 years later, can we see the Christ? Do we have in our hearts that hunger to see beyond daily occurrences, the tasks of life that we're busily engaged in, to see something that quickens our hearts, fills our hearts, and lets us know that we are with God and God is with us? Has that happened to us? Well, I believe that it can and does when we encounter through others a spiritual gift that has touched us in a deep way. maybe an answer to a prayer, maybe in a tricky, tough situation, someone says something which brings clarity, which brings resolution, which brings healing, that was totally unexpected. Totally unexpected. As I told the children, the Advent candles that we had lit during Advent, hope, peace, joy, and love. These are just four of many. Cynthia Bourgeau talks about these gifts of the Spirit as perhaps names of God or qualities of God that are revealed to us through each other, become real when we experience them or feel them as we are with someone who somehow embodies that quality or that gift. In Galatians 22 and 23, they talk about the gifts. Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and he enumerates them: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I'm reminded of the Dalai Lama says, kindness is my religion. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and a little puzzling, self-control. We were talking earlier, leading up to Advent in the worship committee, and talking about the Advent candles, and I shared with the group a passage from one of Cynthia Bourgeau's books, talking about spiritual gifts and qualities. And that she was basically saying that one of the purposes of life is to manifest these gifts to one another. One of the purposes of life that gives meaning to life is somehow to receive and to share these gifts of the Spirit or qualities of God. Because it changes life when these are revealed and felt. They're there. It's kind of invisible. But if we are open to them, we can receive them and share them. Somehow the word photosynthesis popped into my mind the other day when I was thinking about this. I looked it up on the web just to remind myself exactly what that is all about. When I learned about photosynthesis, I was quite young. Do you realize what a miracle photosynthesis is? Everything depends upon it, our life. That light is taken in. Carbon dioxide and water and oxygen is released, and the plants make food, sugar, to feed themselves and to feed the world. And the air that we breathe, it wouldn't be here without the plants. And it just happens. We look at a tree and we look at a bush. We never really think about that. But our lives depend upon that happening. Totally depend. Cynthia Bourgeau also talks about a candle. If you look at a candle, it's basically wax and a wick. Well, that's interesting, a wax and a wick. But what is it about? It's only when it is lighted that you discover its true purpose, and that is to provide what light, and if it's a scented candle, fragrance, which fills the room. Fragrance. That's kind of like gifts of the Spirit. Fragrance. So my question to myself and to you, to think about it in this week perhaps, is how can we be open to receiving the gifts of the Spirit and sharing them? How does that happen? How can we sort of set the stage? I was thinking about, in my own sense, music, for example. If I'm just reading notes on a page and playing them, often the spirit is missing because I'm just playing notes. But if I work with that long enough and really put it into my heart, then maybe something miraculous happens and it can speak and touch people. And most of you know I play saxophone with the Tarps. We have over 90 pieces of music that we play and we have no music. It's all here. So I can wail, not reading music, but just let it flow, the spirit of that, especially ballads that touch me deeply. I remember one time I went up and heard the Eastman Jazz Ensemble up in at Eastman School of Music, and they had just come back from a world tour. And they played, and I was blown away by the spirit of the improvisation that occurred. I went a year later and heard a group that was slightly different. They had not been on tour, and all they did was play notes. They played riffs. And I walked out because the spirit of jazz was not there that night. I knew the difference. I felt the difference. Also, I'm one of the weekend warriors up at CMC as a chaplain. And I was thinking about spiritual gifts as a chaplain. And I remember when I was in seminary and I was taking what's called a clinical pastoral education course, where basically you serve as a chaplain under supervision of a trained chaplain. And one of the things that we did in our education and training was that you had to write down what's called a verbatim. And that means that as best you can remember, word for word, what was said by you and the patient. And then you present that to the class, to the group of student chaplains, and we talk about what happened. And typically the question is, well, when the patient said that, why did you change the subject? You know, we learn about ourselves through verbatims. That's the purpose. Well, the reason I'm telling you this story was that I knew that I had to have a verbatim prepared for group next day. And I was running out of patience, T-S. And I knew that I needed to get a verbatim. And so I went in to meet with this patient, and we were talking. And finally he said, why are you asking all these questions? So I had to fess up. There were no spiritual gifts shared in that visit. But on the other hand, and I say this really humbly, that sometimes when I'm up there on a Saturday and I walk into a room and I'm open to just being there with that person and hearing what they have to say, something happens. Maybe it's a response that I give. Maybe it's just something that they feel. But there's spirit there, and it's magic, and it's healing. And I walk out of that room, and I say, thank you, God, for this privilege of being with this person and using me. So that's just my experience. Each of you, hopefully, can look into your heart and find for yourselves that when you are present with somebody, really present, not just up here and listening and da 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 da, but when you're present and open your heart, then you can become a vessel for the spirit to touch and heal, to be experienced. And that is such a blessing. meaning for everybody who experiences that. It adds to life. Life can go and be you know, so busy, so full, but it can be enriched by these gifts lifted up by Galatians. You know, we talk about kindness and goodness and love. This can bring so much depth to our lives. And we nurture this here together as a community.